I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chicken in, you feel me? D-Roll Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my homegirl, Chuck Mommy, you feel me, on Chocolate City Radio. Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chuck Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about, right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do, we get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D, just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement, or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen to that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Like, hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Chocolate City Radio. I swear, man, I'm supposed to do this show on Tuesday, but I had some shit to do and I couldn't do it like I wanted to, so I postponed it to Thursday, because y'all know I'll never do a show on Thursday. I got a new co-host, Sexy Ashton. We getting it in. Tonight's show is gonna be fucking crazy. This week in the industry has been like one of those crazy ass weeks. So, I came up with the title, Rappers, Beef, and Lies. Are they really about that life? So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on Ashton. We're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to tell you the main purpose of this show. People will be calling in. We're going to be playing songs from the artists that we're talking about. We just going to have a good fucking time tonight. That's all I can say. I'm hyped up. I'm geeked up. I'm just ready to get this shit over with. So, without further ado, my lovely co-host. Hi, Ashton.
Hey, Chalk. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Girl, you're about to be on every time. So, don't get no cold feet. Like, I don't know if you smoke or not. If you need to smoke, then smoke. You need to drink, then drink. And you need to suck a little dick to get your vocal cords ready. Then, you know, don't you gotta do that.
Well, definitely gotta get the dick on deck. I don't know about the smoking and the drinking.
Say we just gotta do what feels right. You know what I'm saying? Tonight is one of those crazy shows where, oh man, where do I start? Okay, everybody knows that I'm not a real big Rick Ross fan. And it's not like I don't like his music. I mean, don't get me wrong. He has really nice songs and everything like this. But my problem with Rick Ross has always been that when he's rapping, he's using other people's names. He's coming up, and the three major people names that he's used, all of these people have been incarcerated when he's making these hit records, and he's not breaking bread with them. You know what I'm saying? With the real Rick Ross, he was rapping about his lifestyle, and you know, it got to the point where, to me, with Rick Ross, it was like identity fraud. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, if we go steal somebody else's identity, we go to jail. That's a felony. Point blank, period. Do not pass. You going straight to jail. Do not pass 200. Go. Do not collect your $200. And
amen.
He didn't break bread with him. You know what I'm saying? Then we go to blowing money fast. And I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, Flipping Work, Hallelujah. Okay. I mean, me personally, I really can't say if you would have been a nigga that Big Meech would have welcomed into BMF, but I doubt it because you couldn't keep it real about being a CO. And there's nothing wrong with being a CO if you got fired for bringing in drugs and handling your business and getting your side money. But by all means, you were proud enough to take that job, so be proud enough to own up to it and help you and your family eat. And it's not exactly like a real big deal. You was a CO. It wasn't like you was a Greensboro Police Department cop or you was a Fed or a CIA. It wasn't like you was an alphabet boy. So, you know, boom. And me personally, I felt like he should have broke bread with Big Meech, which he did not do. Bringing Big Meech's mom on stage does not compensate for you blowing the fuck up, making money off of this song, and not breaking bread with the people that you mentioned in the song. So this week around, matter of fact, I want to say like Monday or Tuesday night, I got a phone call from a friend of mine telling me that Ross was in trouble with some people, but he couldn't remember who it was. He said he saw the video on Worldstar and he was going to try to find it for me. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. You know, not a problem. So then I'm taking my son to school and the radio people are talking about the Gangster Disciples and how Rick Ross done messed up. And I'm like, oh shit, that's the video that they're talking about. So basically, Rick Ross, they gave him a pass for some shit that he did, you know, with the blowing money fast. He didn't take care of what he needed to take care of. And on his mixtape, I think it's the last Bar Mitzvah, he used the star that only Jews, Gangster Disciples, or Illuminati uses. And he was like, they were like, he wasn't a Jew. He sure as hell is not a Gangster Disciple. So he must be with Illuminati. So they was like, basically, he just disrespected. You know what I'm saying? And then come to find out, he has that star in his house, on his living room wall painted, or it's somewhere painted on the wall in his house. You know, I don't think too many people know about that one. So they feel a certain kind of way because now he has to break bread. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fuck you, pay me. Basically, that's the shit that they're on. But they've taken it on another level to the fact where, okay, you know what? It ain't even about you. Everybody on your fucking album ain't safe. You know what I'm saying? So now, whatever happened in the past with the Larry Hoover, the Mick Tate, anything that's pertaining to Ross, now it's reaching out to his artists. You know what I'm saying? So I've been reading up on different things, and I saw that he went out and he hired military specialists and Navy SEALs to, you know, give him protection when he's on tour. And when he's on tour, when he's performing, and he's out and about. So this weekend, you know, he had a tour. He's supposed to be in Charlotte on Saturday and Greensboro, which is my hometown, tomorrow. And he canceled his shows because of the threats and everything like that. Because basically, they made it be known, like, you ain't finna perform nowhere that we're at, you know what I'm saying, until you handle what you gotta handle. And me personally, I think it's funny because I feel like karma is a bitch or whatever. And, like, when you use people's names so much, you eventually you have to pay the piper. But I look at it from a different aspect because you have artists on his label that wasn't with him back in 2009, 2010. They even go back, if you Google some more stuff, you even go back to when he made Every Day I'm Hustling, when he said, when they locked up Black, I cried for 100 nights or some stuff like that. Him having a loose lip in that song, this dude is getting more cases because, you know, a lot of people don't understand when you make videos and you make rap songs and you make these blogs or video blogs or whatever, the fans go back and they look at all this shit and listen to what the fuck you're saying because this is coming out of your mouth. And after they go back and do a background check and they see that you might really know what the fuck you're talking about, then they're going to investigate the things that you're talking about. So if people have open cases and you're mentioning them in your songs and everything like that, even though you're paying homage or you're paying respect to a friend or a big homie, in the long run, you're fucking them up by, what is it, loose lips sink ships? You know what I'm saying? So it's like now, that's also another added issue, you know? So I'm thinking, like, okay, a lot of artists make their money from shows. You don't really get money off albums because by the time the label done fucking gave you advances, brought your jewelry, paid for your promoting budget and everything like that, you really ain't got shit left. So now it's like Meek Mill, Wale, Omarion, and, you know, you got some others that are on Maybach Music Group, but you don't really hear them. You know what I'm saying? Then, like with Machine Gun Kelly, he's on that tour. When you cancel these tours, that's money that you're losing out on. Not only are you losing out on the money, promoters are losing out on the money, club owners are losing out on the money because they're depending on the after parties for you to walk through, come hang out. So it's like the whole economy dealing with concerts is fucked up because this is like a major tour right about now. It's hitting a lot of cities fast. So now when you are counting these tours and you're booked up and you got all these ticket sales, basically you're counting money. You know, your chick is looking like a bag of money. But now when you have to cancel these engagements and these dates because of some beef that you created and you really don't know how you're going to handle it, it kind of fucks up a lot of shit. So I'm wondering what the hell is his artist thinking about because, you know, they're at danger too. Because it's not just Rick Ross, it's everybody that's on the whole Maybach Music. And to me, that's serious. I mean, it's okay when it's just like, okay, you know what? You did this, so I'm going to say something. It's like me and you beefing. But when you say your whole label and you got different sections, different states and everything like that, saying stuff like North Carolina, Atlanta, Colorado, Georgia, you got like all these different things, like, damn, what the fuck do you do?
Listen, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not a Rick Ross fan at all because he's been a fraud from day one. He's a liar to me, and no real woman is going to respect the fact that his fat ass is talking about how he could hop out of Lamborghinis and Porsches. No, I don't believe it, and I can't deal with that, especially when you're talking about all these designer clothing you're wearing. You're just a liar. You're a liar on top of everything, from your name to what you're sporting. I personally think, and shout out to my boy Nettie, he agrees with me. You know, I think it's the industry that told him how to, you know, give himself a persona. They told him how to act or how to be. You know, he's basically, to me, like a Bojangles. He's, you know, doing this for the industry just to make money. I really don't think that he knows what beef is. I don't think that he knows what that life is that he's talking about, being Rick Ross, being Meech or Larry Hoover. I really don't think he has what it takes. And, you know, he really needs to stop while he's ahead, while nobody has asked him yet. Because there are some real rappers out there that will get in his ass, and he's just not one of them. And he really needs to stop, and he really needs to apologize. And he does need to pay like he white to these people that he want to drop names on, like he knows them. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, I agree. Because, I mean, me personally, that's why I think the title of tonight's show is perfect. Rappers, Beef, and Lies. Are they really about their life? Because you can easily rap about what the fuck ever, but when it comes down to it, when it comes to that real street life, like, what is your street credibility like? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Did you grow up hustling? Did you grow up slinging and all this other shit like that? Or are you just basing it on reading fucking magazine articles, reading articles in the Fed, looking at documentaries, looking at Cocaine Cowboys, looking at Shottas, like, what the fuck?
and talking to those inmates you used to protect. Listen, you know, not for nothing, he's bad, but the real rappers are just as bad because they're letting him get away with it. Poor 50 Cent really tried. He really tried to, you know, have his baby mother on the show telling the real him. And it didn't work because this man keeps making hits, and people are just still listening. People are still believing the lies that he's telling, and they're just letting him get away with it. Nobody has really shut him down, you know. So it's not just his fault. It's the actual real rapper's fault too.
You got a point there, and I feel like, you know, some people be like ass kissing and everything like that. And I was having a conversation with one of my sexy ass BK New Yorker friends, and I'm like, okay, how many of his so-called friends are going to stand up for him and everything? And I see that JoJo Capone is getting involved, and he has clout, but when I'm looking at the videos and looking at the stories and stuff like that, I'm not seeing anything detailed out at all. You know what I'm saying? It's just like... he's going to speak and try to squash it. I mean, no disrespect to JoJo and everything like that. At the end of the day, those motherfuckers want a check. They don't give a fuck where it's coming from as long as it's coming from Ross. Cut the check. Fuck you,
right.
Amy. I mean, that's all that matters. And then...
yeah, that's the bottom line.
And then my thing is, the sooner you pay... I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to be over because they may feel like you need to make more payments, you know what I'm saying? But at least you're being man enough to be like, you know what? I was wrong to be doing what I did in these albums, using people's names, and whatever behind the scenes other shit is going on. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't give a fuck what the public thought about me because they don't think what the fuck they think about me anyway. But because...
right.
My artist that has nothing to do with it, and the threat is hanging over their head as well, I will go ahead and just pay the fucking money. I'll be a fuckboy later. I'll be a pussy later. Because I'm still low-key right now. I'm a fuckboy.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what people think of you anyway. You know, the ones that are not in your face. You know what I'm saying? So it shouldn't matter the image that people are going to have of you. If you pay or if you don't pay, what the matter is, you need to fucking pay before something happens and an innocent person gets hurt. Because what happens when you be like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go to a venue that these motherfuckers told me not to go to, and your fans get hurt. Your artists get hurt. Somebody that don't got shit to do with it, they get hurt. Then how the fuck you going to feel then? All this could have been avoided by cutting the check. I'm not sure how much they want or whatever, and I'm not sure if he's going to go to the authorities. I mean, because all this is just public record. It's street thing. You know what I'm saying? You go to the popos, then that's just going to make it worse because popos can't really squash no street. They can't do that. All they do is just throw fuel onto the fire and make a big ass explosion. The police just fucked up. Even in domestic situations, when you go to the police and your man find out about it, when he beating your ass, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, bitch, you put the man on me, and then that's just four extra punches you wouldn't have got.
Yeah. Not for nothing. This is all for entertainment, I believe. Can't nobody be this dumb as to, you know, let it rock as long as it is. I think it's pure entertainment. I think they are getting money off of this situation, being that, you know, it's brought to the public's attention how this beef is going down. If it's a real beef, and if it's a real beef, he needs to stop acting like he's hard, because he's not, clearly.
Oh, I think I'm getting ready to bring on Mr. Moore from Brooklyn, New York. Oh, my God. Every time I think about BK, I think about the best dick ever. Oh, let me get focused. Now, where the hell did he go? Okay. He's coming back on. Now, let's see. I see Jazzy from Cali is on. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Nothing. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So, we're talking about the Rick Ross beef.
Yes. You know, you got the Rick Ross beef going on. Then you got the shit with Chief Keef that, you know, he had beef with one of his rivals. And when the little boy tweeted where his location was, he ended up getting gunned down, shot, and killed. And the little boy's mom feels like, you know, he didn't pull the trigger, but he was responsible. She felt like he gave the order. So it's like a whole lot of shit. But yes, most definitely the main topic is Mr. Rick Ross.
Okay. I heard he had a little penis, but that's okay. Moving on. Next.
You are so funny. I was about to bring Mr. Moore on, because I think his call had dropped, or maybe when I gave him that shout out, I might have made him nervous, and, you know, he don't know how to handle himself around me. You know, it happens to the best of us. Hold on.
To see people kind of scatter back to their home labels.
And it's crazy because, like, I'm sitting here and I'm reading when he canceled his show tonight, when he canceled for the North Carolina venue, and one of his business people was just like, you know, he's confident that they'll come to some type of middle ground and come to terms and squash it. But, you know, a preacher was just like, okay, all these rappers rapping about street life that really have no clue about being in the street, and then it's like they rap and make rapping the game seem like it's, like, lovely. It's like a walk in the park when right now it's not. And he was like, I wouldn't let any of my kids go to a Rick Ross concert. And then they turned around and asked the person that was speaking out for Rick Ross, like, right now, would you allow your kids to go to a Rick Ross concert? And this is somebody from his own camp, and he was like, no. So, I mean, if your own camp is saying they wouldn't let their kids come see you, then it's bad.
Oh.
I mean, if I had some free tickets, would I go? No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since I've gone to, like, honestly speaking, like, I haven't been to a rap concert since Criss Cross, I think. I mean, I like hip hop. Don't get me wrong. I love hip hop. I love good music in general. But all it is a bunch of fuckery. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a bunch of young-ass kids.
Or old-ass men.
Well, what it is you have these rappers, right, who are grown-ups. The rappers are grown-ups, but their audience is not. They cater to a different type of an audience. Or, you know, they cater to an audience of ratchetness. Like, what was I listening to? iHeartRadio last night, and they played the ratchet mix from 12 to 1, I think, in the morning, and all you heard was 2 Chainz, Rick Ross, like, all this dumb shit on the radio. It doesn't mean anything. And so then you have these big boy beats that come out, and it's like, I mean, what you gonna do? You can't sing them a tune and make the guns go away. Like, you can't put the drum beat on it, you know what I'm saying, and make him put down his 9, so I don't know. I can't call it. But it's a very good possibility that, you know, as caked up as Rick Ross may be right now, he may not have to be about that hood life anymore, because he may have hired enough killers in his squad who really are about that life. So I think really at this point you can't say what it may be like.
Now, with that being said, I'm gonna bring back on Mr. New York. His question mark is on. So, hi.
Hey.
Right.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, hold on, call me a spot.
What's poppin'? Oh no, that don't sound right. How you doing?
Nothing. Hi. Oh yeah, what, the Wendy Williams voice? Just got in my office. So I'm sitting in my office. I was listening to your show as usual. It's good therapy, but, you know, the Rick Ross thing is really, like, really weird to me. So I was like, oh, man. So when I saw your BBM blast, because all bosses use BlackBerry, so I was like, oh, when I saw your blast, I said, you know what? I said, I definitely got to tune to this, because it's something that's really, really complexing on my brain.
And what are you
very, very odd show. But I really do sympathize for Rick Ross and everything, and people have to understand that this is a very serious situation. But again, like I guess your co-host said, like, you know, you can't keep using people's careers as your own, because eventually you got to pay the piper. You know, like I said, Plies, you know, people used to say Plies, this is through his brother's life, but that's his brother. So, of course, he takes care of his brother. You know, a lot of people do that. You know, you got to take care of that person. You can't just live on a person's name. It's like how even when Irv Gotti, we used in the Gotti name. You know, we don't know the whole ramifications of it, but there's a reason why he was cool with, like, the Victoria Gotti. because he probably had to say, you know what, you can't just run off my name without cutting that check, you know.
Right.
You know, and that's basically what Ross has run into at this moment. But it's funny when you look on the websites and you see the Facebooks and the YouTubes and everybody's talking out, speaking out against Ross. And it's funny, I think we were talking about that earlier, about there was like a group called the Freemasons speaking out. And I'm like, are you really serious? This is an insult. How dare you even get on there talking about we're the Freemasons talking about we don't support, you know, Rick Ross is not a Mason. I'm like, did they even look in the mirror and say, okay, dude, we look like we are mechanics.
Right.
Like, you all look dirty, you look dusty, you're not standing on squares, you're standing with an apron dangling in the air, like, what are you, some buffoons? See, that's a buffoonery, Rick Ross just did. Like, so you slept in somebody's lodge room. Say that again?
I was asking, aren't the Freemasons supposed to be like a religious organization of some sort?
No, it's no religion. The reason why they say Masons are devil worshippers is because the Masons don't support the church. Because the church says that, the person in the church says, God appointed me. Now, a Mason, using common sense, said, well, can you explain to me how you was appointed by God? And the church says that's blasphemy. And the Mason goes, well, how is that blasphemy? You said God appointed you to be a teacher. Can you tell me how are you chosen by God? Like, help me out here. Like, most of you go to theologian school. So you go to school. So if you're going to school, that means you weren't appointed. That means you went to school to learn this stuff. That means you don't have a third eye on this. So then you got these ragtag-looking guys from their Freemasons speaking out against Rick Ross. That's a joke. Like, the biggest, they're supposed to be speaking up saying, gangs of disciples, please not give this man a pass, but please call Gucci Poochie and try to work this out for the peace and for the betterment of the situation. Not denouncing him, because you don't even know. This is a lodge. Where's the lodge from? The backwater of Ohio? Like, these dudes, this is an insult. When I saw, as soon as I looked at them and I looked at the way they were standing, I was all upset. I said, you're an insult to the rest of the Freemasons. You look like bums. You weren't in uniform. You weren't properly wearing your apron. You had your apron in the air to show you have an apron. So you have your daddy's apron. Then you got the little Spanish-looking guy showing he has a ritual. You could have put that in Barnes and Nobles. Like, show me something that you show me you're a Mason besides wearing stuff that you could have bought at Walmart. So things like that, you got to be very careful, because what people are doing now is fueling into the situation. Rick Ross is a victim of a great marketing situation. He has the Maybach. He has a lot of money now because these corporations build him like a character, like they've built many rappers in the past. Like Jay-Z is a spawn of the Big Daddy Kane. You know, Ludacris is a spawn of the Slick Ricks. Like, these are marketing ideas that people have put together using past tense, and they rebuilt and they build new tense. And that's what Rick Ross is. But now we have a situation where he's glorifying his gang life, and now he's caught up in the middle of it. And it's a very tragic situation, because, I mean, I know GDs, and these are very violent people. You know, their whole culture is violence. So this is something that's very dangerous, and when I hope kids, young kids are looking at this and understanding that this is not a game. This is big money on the table. And we really need to understand that when you play with these people's lives, they'll say you're about that life if you're not. You know, it's like there's a YouTube going around talking about a guy who's like, he likes booty. And I always show this to young kids. I'm like, you know, y'all talking about with your pants hanging out. Look at this YouTube. Put up, I like booty. And it goes back to an episode of Locked Up, where a guy's like, the most valuable thing in jail is called booty, is the booty. And I tell young boys, when you come in here, you know, check this out, I like you. And basically, you're going to give me some of your booty. So it's like, you know, this is the same thing Rick Ross was caught up in. But it's not Rick Ross. It's these marketing departments create a character, and they run with it. But now we have a character that's caught up in a bad situation.
I think you're right. I think it has very little to do with him at all.
Yeah,
I think that
very little.
I think that maybe he took... It's kind of like a mole turning into this ginormous thing, right? So a mountain turning into a molehill turning into a mountain, rather. And so
probably he took the small little lie from back in the day when he was trying to get on and get into the rap game about whatever. And then people are like, oh, okay, so you know about this, this, and that. And then Dade County already has this reputation of being this, you know, this place of being drug infested and with all this life of crime. And so it was a perfect ploy. He told the stories about things he saw in jail, and people said, yep, put that on paper. Yep, this, this, and that, too. And it kind of got out of control to now where probably he doesn't even control the things that he says anymore. Someone else is writing them for him, and he's rehearsing them, saying about this life that he leads.
Which is usually the case. I mean, really, most of these rappers, again, I've been in this entertainment as longer than I would like to say. And I've watched a lot of these characters be built because, you know, I do marketing and I watch a lot of characters being built and I watch a lot of brands being, because these characters are brands. And I watch them created. And you have a lot of situations where you have the 50 Cents, you know, out of a lot of them, 50, I'm not going to say he's real, but there's just really a lot of these people, if you really are, you really kind of are in the background, you became a more of an executive. But, you know, outside of 50 Cent, who really could say, I really got the shit fucked up out of me, there ain't too many of them could say it. But then what Jay-Z is saying, that, you know, y'all respect the shooter. Y'all respect the guy that got shot. I respect the shooter. So does that make 50 Cent real? You know, he's from out, Khaled, French Montana is the one who gave me the video about your mama in the store. Like, how do you respect that? Like, I just lost stripes on 50 on that one. I'm like, damn, dude, like, how you just racked the little man out? Like, that goes right back to what people always kept saying, use a snitch. Like, that, you just threw yourself under a bus when you did that. So, you tried to make French look bad in front of Khaled, but I guarantee Khaled's not even listening to your interview anyway. Ross, they don't listen to anything you say anyway, so you basically just said that to the fan. But most fans, like Slim the Mobster, who you kind of, he's avoiding, who's, you know, calling him a fraud, a snake, and all that. He just validated everything
Slim the Mobster, by the way.
Yeah, but he just validated everything Slim the Mobster said. That you're a rat. Like, okay, French did that. Of course French probably did it. French was doing Cocaine City DVDs. He had access to everything. This kid was, and the point is he was doing it himself. And this is why you gotta look at French Montana and say, this is really a hustler. Unlike a lot of people who say, no, this is a kid who really hustled. He went around the whole country doing DVDs and threw himself on every video. I mean, on every DVD he sold, he had maybe 2-3 pieces on it. So you gotta let that man eat. Don't sit there and be mad that your career is over with and French is the new time. This is what really hurt the West Coast. This is why between Lamar, Kendrick Lamar and Snoop, there's like a 30-year gap. Because we're the rappers, because the bigger rappers kept destroying the little ones as they came up. And that's all 50's doing now. So he's not helping nothing out. You're just shitting on the new generation. And this is why people are turning their back on him. And this is the problem with why people are really supporting Rick Ross. Because you had a Wale whose career was going down the tank. You helped him out. You had a Styley that no one wanted to sign. You picked him up. Meek Mill was hustling for many years and no one would give him a break. You gave him a break. So people are always going to support Rick, even though he was Officer Ricky and he had to feed his family and he did. I mean, people understand Rick Ross has been rapping since EPMD was out. You know, so don't, you know, we look at him like he came out overnight. Rick's been doing this for 20 years. He's like Titty Boy. Like, you know, we don't know he's old. So, dude, he's been writing for Ludacris for 10 years. You know, we're just caught up in a bad situation where we hope that this can be rectified before somebody really gets hurt, you know, and it's a lot of money. Like you said earlier, a lot of money is at stake right now, you know, but I am not giving no praise to the goddamn R. Kelly. This motherfucker's pissing on little girls. Like, you ain't no way you're going to get me to say, oh, no, no way. He can't fix that one. I mean, of course, he was Jewish, so he could get away with it, but, you know. I mean, he got little girls in the studio peeing on him. I'm like, damn, I like a good video too, but that's a little too much for me, homie.
Okay.
ain't nothing wrong with pissing on somebody.
The golden shower was cool, but
what?
She's a little child. It's a child. That's the problem I had.
She not sure if she liked that or not.
you know.
Wait, hold on.
The golden shower. Didn't we have a show about that? Didn't you ask about that before, Chop?
I'm tripping that he said there's nothing wrong with a golden shower because I'm about to come to New York in February for my birthday, and I'm trying to see if he's trying to be around.
Well, you know, 50 probably be around. Don't y'all rule get out in jail in February?
I think so.
I think Ja Rule gets out. See another person that again. If we say the 50 Cent story, like, you know, 50, all of us are the same thing. You know, we will Murder, Inc. did the same thing to 50 Cent. They were like, you know, don't you touch 50. You know, they blackballed them. They extorted them. They threatened people who tried to work with them. You know, it's a weird situation. You know, what we're dealing with is a weird situation with weird time and a lot of backpackers. You know, now you got GD. I'm like, being that I've been in, you know, I've been arrested many times, the part that's really perplexing to me is these dumbass motherfuckers on YouTube saying with their face exposed about Rick Ross paint. I said, don't your dumbass know this is called a felony? You're committing felonies on YouTube.
They're hired for their props.
Mm-mm.
They're
it
not the actual thing. So they don't know, because that's how you do it, right? You pay some dummy who has no idea about what that life is really about, because obviously if they knew anything about anything, the YouTube video would not have existed. So
Look at the World Star market. You got the little girl who beat the little girl up on her doorstep. She went into the girl's door. She pulled her out the house, a.k.a. kidnapping, beat her up, dragged her down the stairs, kidnapped and assault, so now the felonies are running. But now they went back to DA goes, wait a minute, what about the girl who shot the video in the first place? She's being charged
she's
now.
An accessory.
Yeah, she's an accessory. And this is what they're doing now. They're accessorizing everyone now. Like, oh, you shot it and you didn't help? Quality of life violation. That's an A misdemeanor or a C felony, how bad the person gets hurt. So, oh, you
and
world
that's what I'm saying. It's these younger. That's what I was just saying. Like, this industry now, the mainstream industry, although there are grown-ups who are rapping, the industry is not designed it's not designed to entertain us as adults. It's designed to entertain a specific demographic, most of which don't have enough common sense to realize facts from fiction. Because that's exactly what this rap game is now. Most of it is fiction as opposed to fact. And why? Because people who really do whatever are not going to glorify or criminalize. They're not going to, like, put themselves out there and put themselves in a potential situation where perhaps they won't be here today or tomorrow. You follow that trail back to the truth, and usually it leads to nothing. You take any mainstream rap song that's out right now about shooting people, guns, whatever, it leads back to nothingness. Or maybe something that they heard from somebody else around the way. But typically, they're not really involved. It doesn't work that way. But kids don't get it, because kids think it's real. So they think it's cool, and that's why these rappers are making so much money.
Yeah, of course. But again, the part that the media won't tell you is that a lot of kids are going to jail behind it. Like you said, we were talking about the Chief Keef thing in Lil Jojo now. You know, this is the same situation. You know, this is the same exact situation with Ross is going through. You know, you had a little kid, JoJo, who went and let up. Chief Keef was trying to get big. They're investing tons of money in the Chief Keef's career. And you got this little JoJo kid who's actually picking up momentum now. And he's disqualifying everything, all the glorification that Chief Keef was bragging about. He's just basically he's mocking it. And I really, the kid ended up getting killed. So now you got a problem where they're taking real life and they mix it in with the verbalization of just a regular show. It's like it's just music. But now now they're realizing that this is two gangs clashing over one another. You know, because when I actually was in Chicago a couple of weeks after that, and they was talking to a news, I guess a police officer was on TV talking about it because his mother was pushing the case. And it was more or less like, well, yeah, this wasn't more or less that. This was more or less two gangs clashing. So they're looking at it as a gang situation. So basically, you know, on the flip side, you just basically just destroyed everything Blue JoJo was about. Because, yeah, he might have been kicking gangster music, but you just said his situation was gang-related. So now you kind of just, it's almost like you insulted his family. So now we're not looking for a killer, we're just looking for a person who killed another gangster.
Which, of course, is in the book like anything else, right? Out of sight, out of mind. They'd rather us kill each other. It takes the work off of their hands.
You know, like I said, it makes good news.
I have a question for Wright. Now, I don't know how you're going to answer this, but, you know, you and I, we're both street people. You've been arrested. I've been arrested. I've done prison time. You were smart enough and got away from everything. My question is, okay, I like T.I.'s music and everything like that. How is it he was able to get caught with everything that he got caught with and he's on the street? Now, had that been me or somebody else with a convicted felon, because you know we're not allowed to be around guns or anything like that, but to have that type of artillery, silencers and stuff like that, how is it he's able to be free? Like, and he got, like, basically he got a slap on the wrist.
See, that was a little tricky for me, because again, when I go to court, I go in my proprietor persona, which is my proper person. So I don't use lawyers and things like that. So I'm able to circumvent the courts because most courts don't operate on law. They operate on statutory and regulations, not law. You know, because police officers aren't law officers. They uphold statutory and regulations. The sheriff is the upholder of the law. So you're able to circumvent certain things, you know, by even who arrests you, because the word cop is constable and patrol. That's not a law official. It's a constable, not law. Now, what T.I. happened with him was a little odd situation because he was kind of caught red-handed. And I don't even think he was able to argue the illegal search and seizure. Because regardless, felons don't kind of have those type of rights anymore. To say, you know, illegally search me. Like, they're like, nah, you're a felon. That's not even going to hold up in court. And he got caught with, but again, I think T.I. was also in a situation where he was heavily extorted. There was a rumor that they told T.I. they wanted T.I. to pay over $1 million, you know, and he refused to do it, so he was able to, you know, arm himself. You know, he had stuff like Tony Soprano had. He had, like, a rocket launcher. But I think he was able to bring this up because it was out. It wasn't something that was a secret. It was a secret, but, you know, this is something that did get out in the streets. And I think he was able to play that to his advantage. And at the end of the day, T.I. was bringing in tons and tons of money. And you know how it is, money talks. So, you know, like O.J., I mean, you got the right enough money, you're going to beat a murder charge. You know, you can beat anything with, you can beat, yeah, and get away with it. You know, enough money, you can beat anything. And I think T.I. was bringing in so much. Even though he wasn't bringing in that much money compared to Jay-Z, but he was bringing in enough capital that they realized that nigga needs to be in the street working. And I think that's what benefited him. He was able to, you know, get around that. Honestly, I can't even imagine what he said in court to beat those cases. Because, you know, even people I know still would end up with some type of jail time. And he beat it, like, outright, literally beat it outright. But again, it goes back to that gang culture, you know, we're talking about. You know, when you make that kind of money, people knocking on your door talking about, yo, I need a check. You sitting there like, oh, shit. Like you said, you know, I think you brought up Shabazz earlier. You watched me, what he said when he came, when Biggs came back to Miami, he like, nigga, I got to run this shit. He went back to Jamaica. What was Wayne doing in Jamaica? He was extorting everybody. So like, these people need to pay me a little to live comfortable. Like, that's real life. It's really like that. When they told Lil Wayne, you live in Miami, you don't give back to community. You really think they meant the police athletic league? Hell no. They like, you living out here, you gotta cut a check, homie. You can't come down here glorifying balling. You gotta cut that check, homie. So it got a little weird, you know. I mean, that's real. That's real life. I mean, I've been in business for many years and made exceptional sums of money. I used to get a phone call every so often. Yo, Mike, you know this dude? I'm like, no. Yo, he was asking if I know you. Yo, let him know that I'll knock him one week away from Saturday. I'm not that dude. Don't be calling me on something like with your hands out. This ain't the good. I'm not Goodwill. But again, everybody don't live that life. You know, I grew up like that all my life, so I have those type of friends. But people know I don't call my friends. It's me. So it's like I'm able to circumvent certain things based off my reputation. Some people have to call somebody else, and if you got to call somebody else, you got to cut them a check. It's like what Wayne said in Shadows. Yeah, I got all these dogs to eat food, but them dogs got to eat. And if they don't eat, they're going to eat my food. This is why you got to be your own, you know, got to be your own man. And I think that's the problem Ross is running into right now, where now everybody's looking at him like, I need a check. You know, his thing is, the good thing for him is that it's glorified. Because anything Ross does at this point is, it's like the Gucci Mane thing. It's called self-defense. This is what the problem is right now. So one of Ross' Navy SEALs who shot Osama bin Laden popped somebody. He was like, hey, y'all was on TV glorifying, trying to kill me. I had to do what I had to do.
So wait a minute.
This is what they say, bad boys move in silence.
True.
Exactly.
So what do you think is going through the artist's mind right about now? Like, if you was on Maybach Music Group, what would your mindset be?
Oh, my mindset be good. I'd be like, yo, where's my agent? Yo, book me on a tour. I'm on tour. I'm bypassing certain cities, but I really need to get out to Europe and Asia. So I'd be like, book me Europe, Asia right now, please. Africa, Australia. I'm going out there. The book, and this is not going to slow me down. Tell these promoters, I'll catch them back. I'll definitely do the shows. I'll take care of them on the back end. I'll probably do it for next to nothing, to show that love. And I'm touring. I'm hitting the road. No one's going to stop me from eating. But again, that's my personality. A lot of people don't have that same personality. Everybody don't have that same personality. You know, some people like a Meek Mills. Meek Mills is going to eat. I mean, Meek Mills type dude, he'll be in Chicago tomorrow doing a show. Because that's the kind of person he is. I'm not saying these dudes are scary, but that's the kind of person he is. He is really a person who's about his money. He's about his music. He's passionate about what he does. Some people, they've been created, like manufactured, so they're apprehensive. They might not even walk down the corner. They might not even go to the corner store right about now. Honestly, I've talked to people, and they kind of act. They say, yo, dudes is, like, really on pins and needles right now. So it's very sad right now because I really wish this thing blew over, so he can go back. Cause, I'm a fan of his music. I'm not really a fan of his personality, because he can be a little weird sometimes, but he's honestly a very nice person. I've done stuff with him before, and he's a very nice person. He's just different. He's a very different personality, and I think he's almost like 50. He's like, he's been told I can't do shit for so long. He's very upset at people still, for always putting him down, so he's not really the open arm to everybody, because he's like, nigga, most of y'all said I was never going to mount the beat shit. And here y'all are now. So he's really, he's like that. Like, y'all really never, y'all, I was always the underdog anyway, so don't come smarter than my face.
That I could agree with. It's just like, when you think about rappers back in the day when we was growing up, like X-Clan, 4-H teachers and stuff like that.
I love X-Clan. I was just listening to Exodus about a few minutes ago.
Yes, like PRT Rock This Funky Joint. It's like,
yeah,
rap had a message back then. Or you think about beef, like LL Cool J and Cannabis, and who had beef with Cool Moe Dee? Was it LL Cool J too?
LL Cool J. LL Cool J ended all their careers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You gotta remember, but is it LL or was it the industry? Like right now, we was talking about this the other day about R&B music. You got Drake and people thinking that's an R&B artist.
Hell
like,
no.
What the fuck? Drake is a little gay kid from the Canada. Like, what are you talking about R&B? A grown woman looks at Drake like, nigga, what are you talking about? You're not getting next to my drawers. Look at your little youngin' ass. Get out of here. You know, but it's like now gospel music is like the new R&B now. So if you can't make it an R&B, go gospel. Because now the gospel, this R&B is like some, like you said earlier, it's like ratchet music. It's, you know, there's no more schmoozing the women. Like, you know, before you talk to the girl, you know, take, what up, what is, oh, God, I'm sorry, I'm about to fuck up the music, but, you know, put out your red dress, like your high heels, when I get through to you, I'm going to make love to you. Like, you remember that was a, who that piece, Johnny Gill, My.
Yes.
That's a fucking hit. But now you hear this new shit, it's like Two Chainz, R&B music. Like,
and
you know,
exactly
what's up with some ass, what's up? Yeah, what's
yes.
up with some ass? And then you wonder why the women are looking at you like, damn, nigga, you was a bump. Because dudes, then it's everybody's fault. Because women fall for it. So when a man comes, a girl with his pants on, you, what's up, short? She's going to be like, nigga, why is your pants on the floor?
Right.
I don't see your drawers. Pull them shit up. So as long as women accept that, dudes gonna keep coming like that. Because men are stupid as shit. And this is why you can get away with a lot of this problem we have with the music, the fuckery in the music. Because
yep.
they're like, I'll sell my soul to get that dollar.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy right now. It's like what Dave Chappelle said. They offered him that $50 million, and he said they told him to come do a movie. And in the movie, he had to wear a dress. And he's like, I'm not wearing no dress. He goes, well, everybody wears the dress. And he goes, well, if everybody did it, it's not original. And if it's not original, I don't want to do it. And they kept saying, come on, Dave, wear the dress. Wear the dress. And Dave says, no, I won't wear the dress. So the guy leaves the room, comes back 20 minutes later with the same script, but the dress is missing. And Dave Chappelle goes, oh, so basically you can, the script, there was another script already ready without the dress, though. And he says, that's the problem. You got to stand up. And this is why we went from poor righteous teachers to flies talking about Becky and this dumb shit. You know, what are you talking about? This is the before and cornery in the music. Huh?
It's a bunch of nothingness. That's what they're talking
yeah.
about, a bunch of
right.
nothingness.
Yeah, but then you wonder why we can't keep jobs in this country. You know,
oh, no,
the
I don't
people
wonder.
The people,
I know why.
The people
why.
Are just gone stupid.
They
and
are.
It's not that just the music. It goes to the marketing department. It goes to the radio because the radio dictates what's on the radio. It trickles down. It's called the dumbing down of America. So now you got the Rick
sure.
Ross. You got these fake Masons on the internet. I'm so appalled by that. I need to look up the Google. And like, dude, could you at least wear your uniform? You got a guy rapping. Like, you got a rapper. I'm not a fucking Mason. I'm like, what are you talking about, stupid? Rick Ross never said he was a Mason. He said he did a song which is an ode to Freemasons. Well, he's not a Mason. I said, dude, we were talking about this earlier. I know dudes whose money is like 9 digits long. And I don't mean low lines. I mean, these dudes got freaking yachts in Saint-Tropez. And a few of them know who Rick Ross is. Like, Rick Ross did a show for my man one day. And he gave Rick Ross like $100,000 to perform for like 20 people. These dudes are connected. Like, no disrespect to nobody, but trust me, if he wanted to say, Rick, the Rick Ross went to him and said, you know, I got a problem with these GDs, there won't be any GDs left. Trust me, these are the type of money these people got. They're like, you know what, oh, is that bad? Is it really that bad? Is it really that bad? All right, I'm going to make a phone call. We ain't got to worry about no GDs. And give it about 6 weeks, there's going to be a GD left. These are the type of people these people are. These people are not the fuck with type people. And you're looking, so I'm looking at people like, well, you know, no, Rick Ross has pull. This man has pull. He has some very powerful friends. This is why he could say I could hire a Navy SEAL. You don't just hire, you know, people like that from Halliburton. You got to have, they don't just lend their services out.
Right.
You got to be very connected even get to people like that, especially if they're certified. Because
right.
their bank accounts, they just even use their services as big money. Because these people are assassins. Like, and I keep telling you, like, it's the music. It's made us stupid. And like I said, I mean, it is Rick Ross' fault because, you know, he fell for the system. But at the same time, there's a man talking about one man, he's laying tar on the roof. You know, he's a correction officer. And now he's driving in the Maybach. I mean, he's so big, that's all he can really fit in, really. You know, he needs Hummer and Maybach. Like, he's a big kid. But, you know, the Vans feeding his family, we all do some finagling shit to get what we want. And it's called capitalism. You know,
right.
Capitalism is a system of fuckery. You know, it's capitalizing off the weaker person. That's capitalism. You capitalize, you know, for somebody else's misery. So kids get stupid, but the music that I could sell 100 records. Well, 100 records. Well, sell 100,000 records. I don't want to sell 100 records. You know? But the dumber the music, the more it sells. There's a prize. Come on, for real? He literally took his brother's career and just ran with it. I mean, are you serious? You know, you got NWA. They ran a whole subculture of gangster killing people. I mean, they weren't gangsters. Like, MC Ren. Like, he was, like, really in the street and all that. But those these dudes were just, you know, Eazy-E was in the street. But their whole music was about drive-bys and glorification of violence. You know, my real question is, what is the real Rick Ross thinking about this right now?
You know
That's
what?
I was able to.
I was trying to look for his number because I used to have it. Because I was going to call him and hit him up and be like, yo, what do you really think?
That'll be a funny story.
Yes, because he's probably like, hell yes, it's about time because of what he had to go through with him. Because I had him on the show last year, and he was like, he really wanted to put hands on Ross, but he couldn't because you already know at any given time.
Oh, yeah, they waited for you, yeah.
Yeah, because he already went back for 6 months, so if he blows the wrong way, or if he is beside a felon and didn't even know it was a felon, they're locking his black ass back up.
Oh, of course. They waiting for him. Well, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I'm a conspiracy theory a lot of things. I kind of was like, I bet your girl probably has something to do with this. He's like, you beat me in court, but I'm gonna get my hands on you sooner or later.
Right.
I really believe he has something to do with, like, you know what, you got me in court. I got to get my retro. There's no way the hell I'm going out like a sucker. You got to pay me one way or the other.
I wonder what 50's saying. I know 50 got to be saying something.
Yeah, 50 ain't going to talk because Slim the Mop's away for him to open his mouth. You got your own problems to worry about. You got to worry about Slim because Slim ain't letting up. My thing is more or less the game making jokes of Shine talking about, but again, another problem we have. You know, the glorification of buffoonery. You know, now he's clowning Shine, talking about, yeah, don't be dropping the soap. But ain't this the same motherfucker on Change Your Heart with a butterfly on his face and the girl changed her heart?
Oh.
I'm like, dude, like, I remember. Like, again, I told you, I've been around for a while. I'm like, dude, I remember when Who Kid got you the deal. Like, you was in the room with Who Kid. Who Kid heard your music and basically fought for you because they were dropping you. You're getting dropped. He fought for you, and they put you on G-Unit. You had a butterfly tattoo on your face. You was on Change Your Heart, and the girl changed her heart and was basically dumping you. Like, come on, son. Come on, son. Like, don't shit
and
on somebody.
Isn't that funny how they do that? Like, how artists, they will try to, like, fuck over somebody else. Like, but how can you talk about that dude? Like, that's a real dude who did his shit, and when he gets out, like, he's going to be on, because he's going to be very well respected. Like, I don't get it.
I tell you, but Shine took a bullet. Shine went to jail like a man. I mean, he ate that gun, saved Puffy and J-Lo's career. I'm like, I don't care how mad he is when he got out of jail. He deserved to be mad, because he's like, damn,
exactly.
I bet you Diddy check wasn't big enough for the jail time he had to do.
Right.
No, like.
But
like,
I'm sure that he's gonna get picked up by a label. Somebody's gonna pick him up. Just
Russell,
off of, like.
No, he's alright. Sounds alright. I mean, Diddy took care of him very well. Just he didn't get the support from Diddy he kind of wanted. Like, he wanted Diddy to really ride for him out afterwards. And Diddy was more or less like, come on, dude, I need you to be a writer for me, two a producer for me, or three just be my mace. If you know what that means, wink, wink, you know. And Shine is like, I am not going that route, homie. So it's like, you know, and then Shine got deported. So that kind of killed the money right there because he got deported. So again, it's another example. Like, it's this music has really influenced people the wrong way. You know, I mean, I've never heard a rapper really running. I mean, you got people that are running to Trick Trick. You know, you go to Detroit, Trick Trick is waiting at the door. You ain't getting out of Detroit without making sure he's all right. But at the same time, how do you run into a beef with a whole, like, subculture? I mean, I know Crips that talk shit about Bloods all day. Bloods will talk shit about all, you know, and they still perform everywhere they could. But, like, Ross literally just got shut down. Like, I don't think I've ever even imagined this would happen.
This is
the weirdest thing.
I laugh all day, and you know me, I'm really not a Ross fan. And I told people, the reason why I'm not a Ross fan is because of how he uses people's names and he doesn't break bread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for me, I am a human being. I do have a heart. I just could not imagine, like, being in that situation. And it's like, when you go to bed, when you wake up, you don't know what other state has hopped on to where, nah, bitch, you ain't coming here. And
you can Google that. The FBI, there's a link on, good God, where's the link at? I looked at it, my assistant actually showed me. There's a link you can actually, where they show, it's infiltration or saturation of gangs. So they'll tell you, like, Crips, and they'll break up Crips, hybrid Crips, because, you know, there's a lot of hybrid gangs around now. And that'll be Crip, GD, Folk, Crip, I mean, if you're not Crip Latin King and like that, but, you know, Crip in this local group. So you got a lot of groups, even BMF was a hybrid group. You know, that was everybody in that bitch. I mean, it was Mexicans, Meech was cool with everybody. I mean, Meech made sure everybody, he could have been bloody as blood, and Meech, if he liked you, he was going to eat. So it basically showed you where hybrids are at, too. So you can go on the site, and it'll tell you GD's about 30,000 strong nationwide, so you kind of eliminate the nation at that moment. And again, these aren't people that are the most kindest people. I mean, again, I know a lot of GDs. You know, I ran a lot of GDs, and you're not going to, there's not a group that you're really going to say, you know, let me go talk to you. The talking kind of doesn't exist. You know, you follow orders, and it's worse now because a lot of the OGs are arrested. So the young dudes don't have that same respect, you know, or they don't understand negotiations. Like somebody like a Larry Hoover would have been like, you know, come see me. I think he's still in Virginia. I'm trying to think where he would be at right now. He could be anywhere. But he'll tell you, you know, come see me. You know, come, you know, when you have a chance, come see me and let's talk. He would have went there, he would have, okay, you know, I need you to do this for me. And you would have did it in the call of the day. It's not really an option. I mean, you did use the symbol. You shouted him out. You gave yourself a cosign from him. You know, like, dude, you got to pay these. You know, you got to pay the piper. You know, it's not saying it's right. Again, that's what the mafia been doing, the last 100 years? La Costa Nostra. That's what all these gangs do, mafia groups do. You know, so I just hope it works out the best. I'm just more offended by those dusty-looking Masons that did that. That's what I'm still offended about. Being a Mason for over 15 years, I saw that and was like, oh no, they didn't. Like, what the fuck was this about? Like, what kind of, you know, these dudes are like, please look, pull it up again. And again, you're not a Mason, so to you, it's probably like, okay, it's Mason. But if you're a Mason in a real lodge and you're proficient in your craft, and you travel the world, and you meet up with other proficient Masons, and you visit different lodges, you would look at them and be like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, you're just dangling an apron? Don't the aprons have to be on, or are you ready to cook? You know, you hold it up so you can wrap around so you can cook. What are you doing? And you got the one guy waving a ritual. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like so confused by watching. I had to walk away and come back. I said, okay, maybe I looked at it from the wrong angle.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look at it again. I'm like, yo, like Masons wouldn't do that. And the point is, you don't even know, because you could be made a Mason on site. Masons could be made on site. So that's another thing they don't know. Like, you don't know who Rick Ross knows. I know people with big money that Rick Ross knows. Well, I don't know, you know, we don't all talk together. But I know them very many years, and they talked to him for many years. And these are Masons. They could have easily talked to him and said, okay, you're a master Mason on site. There's nothing. You wouldn't know. Why would you need to know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people got degrees at universities, and you know the motherfucker never went there. They gave him called an honorary degree.
Mm-hmm.
Freemasons do the same thing. You have an honorary degree. You're an honorary master Mason, which gives you all the rights and benefits of being a Freemason.
Hmm.
So again, you know, it's again, that's a different episode. But again, we just have to, like, you know, again, I ain't gonna say I don't like the word pray, but I really do pray at this moment for this, because I really don't want anything bad to happen to Rick Ross over this. I think it could escalate to that. We just saw the little JoJo thing with young Chief Keith, so we know it can escalate to that. So let's not even play ourselves where it won't go that far. I mean, we've seen the Chicago video when motherfucker came out of the bus with an AK. I mean, I went to the McDonald's All American game while I was out there. Like 20 people were shot within a 2-day period. So I'm like, good fucking God, boy, do something else with that gun. Because you don't understand. Y'all keep talking all this shit and swinging all them guns. Y'all don't understand. What they're doing is building a case against you. They're going to label you as a terrorist organization. And they're going to lock every motherfucker up yelling GD. And this is the thing.
But didn't
this
they come to that at one point? Considered to be that at one point?
Well, see, that's it. Street gangs are subversive organizations. Right now, the FBI considers street gangs subversive organizations. Obama said it himself, the war on crime is not abroad, it's domestic.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they signed, remember they signed that martial law bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know they signed that martial law. People don't understand, and again, this is when people talk about where I know. You don't know shit. If you never left this country, you don't know a goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get most of this when I'm abroad, or I'm in different rooms where I'm actually out the country, but I'm in the country. And that's when you really hear the intertwinings of different stories, and you're like, holy shit. And, you know, you're sitting in this country, you're like, wow, you know, I really didn't see it from that angle, but I see it happening. So that's what they're going to do soon. They're like, oh, GDs, okay. Because all you need to do is say a Navy SEAL got shot by one of them.
Exactly.
Oh, whoa, yeah. What? Yeah, Navy SEAL defending Rick Ross and a GD shot him. Oh, that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with the word GD on it, lock them up. And we're going to hold them, because they're domestic terrorists, we can hold you for 5 years.
Right.
Let's see how many people are going to try to get that tattoo removal. Or how many people already locked up in a precinct, and the police goes, oh, we got these 50 names already. Okay, names, they 50. We got these 1,000 names already that we know are members.
If they get treated like a terrorist organization, that means the same rules would apply. So the same thing that happens to
Guantanamo
those
Bay.
That end up in Guantanamo, exactly.
But you
where
know
there
domestic.
Is no, exactly, where there is no habeas corpus.
Thank you. Yeah, it's no
habeas corpus doesn't apply.
Yeah, a speedy writ of habeas corpus, writ for speedy trial, none of that works. They can hold you as long as they need to hold you.
With
up
no
to
evidence.
Like a 5-year period. Exactly.
Exactly.
And the evidence they're going to use is that you self-admitted to be
guilty
a killer.
Guilty by association. Same thing that they do with those in Iraq. And I mean, it's the same exact thing. You're guilty by association. Mm-hmm. We don't know until we investigate.
And
now we have the right to investigate, because civil law does not apply to this situation because of what your classification is.
Mm-hmm. And see, that, and again, I mean, I know we're looking at that angle of this whole situation. That's the angle I'm looking at it, because I'm like, y'all don't understand that y'all are on, I mean, and again, I didn't hear about, honestly, you know, I ain't going to say where I was at, But when I heard about this whole thing, I was in a meeting with some gentlemen, and it came up. Because one of the guys is a big Rick Ross fan, old Russian guy. He's like the fucking Rick Ross fan. Like, everything he'll say boss. Now, imagine a big, fat Russian guy yelling boss. Like, he has, you know, that Russian boss. It's already heavy anyway. And, like, he loves the death of Rick Ross. Because, you know, he understands I came from nothing to make something of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, he likes that, like that. It ain't like a person who was born into it. He's somebody who had nothing and fought and would not give up. And we were talking about, he was talking about, like, what is this? What is this? Like, that's, he's actually like, what is this? What is this? And I'm explaining this, explaining that. Because, you know, he has no idea why these people on YouTube. Like, he's like, why are they on TV telling him to pay me? Why would Jay do that? It's called self-incrimination. Why would they do that, Rika? And I'm like,
Because that's the difference between gangbangers and gangsters. There's
gangsters.
A definite difference. I grew up in Inglewood. I see gangbangers all the time. You can spot them from a mile away because those are the ones with no goddamn common sense. And they think that it's okay to be on the block banging, waving around what they're doing. They commit these crimes and they think that to them that's what gives them their street cred, right? If they talk about the things that they've done and they can show proof of the things that they've done. Having no idea that, I mean, it's a different level. That's why those people will always be in a separate box from gangsters. So those who make moves and still wear suit and ties, and you will never know. You can see them in a room with you, and you would never know what it is that maybe they've done in private. That's always been the difference. And that's why so many gangbangers are in prison, because they have no common sense. And as the generations go and things evolve, the kids become younger and younger and more ignorant, and they feel like they're entitled to this lifestyle, or they're entitled to be this way, and they're untouchable.
Yeah, but again, that switches back to the broken home, because the street are these kids' new families, because the fathers are not home. The mothers are working two jobs, so she's not home, and the streets are your father. And now the street is your father, but the 30, 40-year-old OG who was there to be like, okay, like me, I was, you know, I had an OG that raised me. And he always would tell me that I see a better life for you. And I tell people, shut up. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't never sold drugs in my life. I never did drugs in my life. Because I had somebody look at me, even I was like, I had mathematics, so I'm like, they ain't know what the hell I can afford this. I ain't even starched. I know I can't afford it. Even as a kid, that's how I used to think. And he was like, but now these 30-year-old, 40-year-old men who are your big brothers or father figures, they're locked up. So now these 16-year-old kids are being raised by 18-year-old kids. And they're all dumb as shit. So now it's just a destructive society.
Perpetuary cycle.
Yeah, it's a very vicious cycle. And now we have a situation where, again, we have a Rick Ross going through this. We have the Chief Keefs going through this. And it's very dangerous. Like, every time you turn around, Chief Keef's supposed to be dropping an album, and he's in trouble again. Like, oh, he violated parole. I'm like, yo, dude, Chief Keef could be one of the hottest things that came out of that market in ever. Well, not ever, because Kanye can't come in. Kanye is one of the greatest rappers of all time. But, again, one of the best that ever came out of that market. And this kid can't just be out of trouble. Not that it's him. It's just his environment puts him into that situation. You know, I ain't gonna lie, I'm not going to say I'm a Chief Keef fan. I mean, his music is definitely comical to me. But again, now you got a little kid who's dead, so Chief Keef's career is going to end on the death of another artist. So again, I think what we really have to do, keep doing between all of us is outreach. Less known. We can't glorify anything happening to Rick Ross. I mean, it is comical because a lot of people say he had it coming. But at the same time, I went through the Biggie Pac thing, and it still hurts me. Now, let's just hope this doesn't go the same route.
I mean, I would be the first to say that the pay me part, yes, but it's funny. But then it's like when you see, like, these dudes really ain't playing,
Hold on, they ain't playing.
Yeah, it's sad because now it's like everybody is just like, okay, now he's canceling concerts. So he's really like, okay, this is some serious shit. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Instead of, okay, the first day or two, because, I mean, we was talking. I'm like, yeah. And now, okay, you go out and you hire the Navy SEAL. Because I know how that operates because my ex-husband is in the military and being on naval institutions and Marine Corps institutions, I know what they're trained to do. And having one that was a neighbor, I'm just like, wow. And
yeah,
then,
they don't, SEALs don't play.
Yeah, and then it's like, I think outside the box to where I'm thinking about his artist that wasn't even on his label when, you know, some of the stuff started. So it's like, everybody is affected, you know, even when it was like, you know, no disrespect, Meek Mills, Wale, whatever, but everybody, and when they say everybody, it's just the way that they say it, that they mean like everybody, including your fucking family.
Well, I mean, again, let's go back to Chavez. What he said, Mr. Chin, where's my money? He goes, you come back in a week. And what he told, what is it? Oh, you trying to circumvent the system? Mad Max got him. He blew his head off. Like, dude, you got to make an example. If you let him slide, everybody's going to want to slide. I mean, that's the culture. And again, this is when we got to hope that these young kids are watching this and understanding this. Like, dude, there are kids that are cool and there are kids that really are gangsters who just don't give a fuck. Old dogs from Minnesota society who just don't give a young black and don't give a fuck. There are. I grew up with a lot of them, and I talk to them to this day, and I keep a distance because they just have not changed. They're crazy as ever.
But
what,
you know,
we have to, huh?
You know, the one thing I think could happen out of this that people could learn is like.
I gotta hear this part because what?
It's like at any given time. You could be the one on that end. It doesn't matter. You could be on that end. Especially, so many people sit down, especially if they have ghostwriters, and people are writing for them, and they're just being a mouthpiece and stuff like that, and you have people that are offended, because you may have people that be like, oh, shit, you know what? Let me do what the disciples did. Or let me do what, what's the dude's name you just said it, in Detroit?
Oh, Trick Trick.
Yeah, Trick Trick, you know what I'm saying? Or let me do what happened with Lil Wayne, because it's like so many people that have had pay that we don't know about because they went ahead and they handled their business before it got out and it was blown the fuck up, like, you know.
Oh, no, remember they exposed, remember the Joe Pound kind of went out on, they went out on Lil Wayne. Remember, they straight up told us, yo, you can't come through here without paying, where that check at? Remember,
yeah.
When they told you had to make that, the payment ain't been made. You know, it's a lot that get away. But again, a lot of people don't get away because they're within the same team. Like, the people that put them out are usually the hustler anyway. That's why a lot of them was able to escape, you know, these shakedown days, I call it the shakedown. You know, that's why it's good to have friends. I always tell people, don't ever burn bridges. Don't ever burn bridges, and don't think your shit don't stink.
Well,
I know my shit stink.
People don't look at it like that. I was just like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm having a change of heart, y'all. Don't think I'm getting soft or nothing like that. But I'm just thinking about the bigger picture to where, okay, like, he doesn't need to do a standoff. He doesn't need to be like, no, or push these people up against the wall. Like, I just hope they can find some middle ground, because it's crazy, because it's affecting so many people's pockets, especially on this tour, because it's not just the artists. You got the promoters. You got the venues. The after parties, the merchandise that was printed up, and, like, so many people lost this weekend.
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't like about And again, you know who loses again? Ross, because they're still going to sue him. They'd be like, I don't care the fuck what happened. You didn't show up. So he's still going to lose. So it's like, yo, dude, work something out. You know, again, I don't ever believe in telling people to pay up because, you know, I don't believe you give up what's yours. But everybody once in a while has to say, you know what, I think it's easy just to, like, play this another way.
Yeah, swallow the bullet.
Swallow the bullet sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta eat the bullet and just say, you know what, the bigger picture is making this happen.
And
I gotta get this show popping.
Well, yeah, he's already the bigger man, but you know.
literally.
like titties and all, because it's like now when you think about it, the Jeezy and Gucci beef is not that big. The Jeezy and Ross beef ain't that big. I mean, it's like it makes other beef seem so small and just not relevant anymore.
Well, remember that Jeezy beef? Remember somebody, you know, two kids died of that.
Yeah.
Remember with the remember that when they broke in Gucci's house?
Yeah, they did. You're right.
You know, it just gets downplayed. You know, it's like we're able to, you know, it trickled away for a while, but that got real bad at one point. Not at one point, hell, that shit was people died after that. So you're like, what the freak are y'all doing over there?
I mean, it's like it's really sad. I'm gonna bring in 585. The last four is 7698. A lot of people are just listening. I like when they just listen because I listen. Whenever you're on, you kick so much knowledge. And I still have another question. I forgot what it was. It's gonna come back to me. But last number is ending in 7698. You're live on the air.
What's up? What's
Hi.
Up, Jack?
Hi.
What's up? This cool.
How you doing?
I'm alright. What's up? Yeah, I was listening to the conversation. Yo, it was alright. It was very deep.
Always.
So the question is though, while you got all these people out here like that and running and doing what they do, besides the teens, that's like right about 16 to 18 to 19. How can you get these ones that's like 25 to 30, 32 to 35, to discover that they're an adult? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I look at it like a lot of gang joints and all of that, I did that. You know what I'm saying? It was cool at 15, 16, 17, you know what I'm saying? But at some time in your life, you discover that you become a man. You know what I'm saying? How can you influence a grown man? I figure you'd be a real, real grown man at 27.
Yeah.
When you start
right.
discovering that you got to do something with yourself.
Uh-huh.
I think that you can't make a grown person realize that they're a grown person. Either they are or they aren't, right? It's kind of like that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
You can only give
someone knowledge, but it's up to them to decide what their destiny is.
But you
and
know
it's
what the
sad, thing but it's sad. True. Can't.
But you know
that
what the thing
is
also? Well, that is, that's true. There's some people stuck in their ways, but at the same time, a lot of people, it's, for instance, one day, I mean, I don't bring this up, you know, I'm just going to bring this a scenario. We was all hanging out one day. We was all talking. We was going, you know, playing, you know, cars in my man's house. He just came home. And this dude said something out of his face. He said, yeah. And we was talking. I said, what did you say? He goes, yeah, she came out of my face. I slapped her. And I looked at her. I said, what? And my OG was there, you know, one of my old dudes. He got deported. He came back. And he looked at him like, what you said? Mind you, the whole table, everybody at the table was long money. And we're looking at him like, you said you just slapped her. What the fuck was wrong with you? And the honesty is he didn't realize he didn't, because the way he is, no one ever told him that was wrong. So even though some people are stuck in the way, they don't even realize they're living wrong because we glorify it. Like we were looking at World Star one day, and the guy's fighting the girl, and they're cheering.
Because
you thought that shit was cool. Around my way, we would have poked them. Like I told people, said, I don't fight. But But we straight up, we drip dry nigga like, oh, you fighting women? You can't rock with us because you's a bitch ass nigga. And they don't realize that, they're like, oh, shit. Like, oh, my bad. They don't realize they're like, oh, wow. Yeah, dude, we don't fight women. Because you fight women, that's like somebody beating your mom. Would you have somebody beat your mom?
Right.
No. Well, that's the same thing you just did. And they go, oh, shit, I didn't think about it like that. Exactly. So
but that's where education comes in also.
Right.
Because
when people become educated,
they evolve to other levels, they experience different things, you know, when they can kind of get out of their immediate surroundings. And a lot of people, and I'm just going to put it out there, like my primary source of income, my 9-to-5, is in education. And, you know, I work with adults returning back to school. I work with adults trying to better themselves. And it's amazing the conversations that you will hear sometimes with people who don't realize what a value of an education can do for them, because they think that everything is okay because their whole world revolves around their 12-block radius. And it's like you said, you don't know anything unless you've been somewhere before.
Yeah, you gotta get out.
All they know is what they see, and they think that that's okay, and that's all they need to know. They don't get the fact that there's a different element out there. And that's, I guess that's kind of what I meant by you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, because it's, if you don't take the time out to explore something outside of yourself, you'll never be anything better. And a lot of the people that are stuck in that cycle feel like that's all they need to know. They're content.
Right. But this is where you got to grab them in the side and say, young brother, that's not what you do. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of them are so ignorant, like you said, they don't even understand. But as long as they're stuck and they realize that they don't go no more than the 10 blocks of their area, there's nothing you really can do for them. Because their mind is so caught up. And it's like the movie Precious. They're caught up in that little void where they can't see anything outside of these four walls. The only thing you can do to them is talk to them, start up little, you can start up mentoring programs. Because men, you know, I always tell people straight up, men, we're dumb as shit. Our 30 is really like 23. You know, we mature very slow because we want to be our machismo makes us think we running shit. So sometimes you need a strong
woman. I don't really agree with that though, man.
Go ahead, help me out.
I was more wiser when I was 15.
Based on what? Give me
something. I was in the era when I was like poor righteous teachers and Chuck D's. I think the music influenced a lot of things. And if you got every radio station nationwide playing Shake Your Panties Off and all this other shit all the time, and all the video stations doing the same thing, it's a subliminal message flowing.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because we said this earlier. We were just talking about, she brought up X-Clan, and she brought up, I think it was Shock Mouth, she brought up these different music we grew up
in.
Right. I was just listening to Exodus a little while ago. I was in my car, and my man was like, what's that? And he was like, yo, where do you get that from? And he was like, where you get that from? And I was like, Exodus? You remember this? He goes, dude, I remember hearing my pops playing that. But don't you realize there was a generation where we had good music, then the crack era showed up in the 80s, crack era took the 90s, all the people were in jail from the 80s and 90s. They missed the whole 2000s, so all the young children were raised without fathers. Their fathers were in Sing Sing and Pelican Bay. So now we got 2012 and the fathers are just coming home. And they can't adjust because they're just trying to, like, I gave my man a BlackBerry the other day. He just came from jail and was like, what the fuck is this? And I said, it's a phone. And he's like, dude, he went in with beepers route. The BlackBerry just freaked him out. He was not ready for that. And I'm like, dude, this is going to be some weird shit to readjust to you. But his sons, he has three sons. They're all over the place. So like you said, the music is terrible. It teaches lies. The parents are gone. The fathers are away. The mother gives them a headache, and he realizes he's going to be in the street. So the kids are raising themselves. The 18-year-old is telling
the
16-year-old what's right.
The fathers ain't there.
Yeah. And like you said, you were blessed with no poor righteous teachers. Like, that's you need an education to even listen to what they're talking about. this new stuff pop, like you never had stripper music on the radio. Like
never.
I remember growing
That's
up
what I'm
to
saying.
That.
The whole culture changed. Back when that was playing, you couldn't say damn on the radio.
Exactly. This new stuff is exactly. And the station was able to find so bad, they knew to make sure they bleeped the two words in front of it so they won't bleep. So
That's
they won't
what
bleep
I'm
what.
Saying. So in the end, it's like it's meant to be. It's a project to dumb down everyone.
Right. But
you know
how do you
saying?
Keep control?
If you dumb down everyone, people above can do what they want.
That's the key. Well, I was just
because
getting at.
You're not even smart enough to recognize what's going on.
I
hate to be the one to bring this up because no one has yet. We've talked about all the things that we could do better as a people, but what bothers me the most is that people are so uneducated, not in terms of like ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, but they're so uneducated as opposed to concept of self that they don't realize that this has been a part of the master plan all along. So I know people have been talking about it recently, not enough, I don't think, but with regards to the Jim Crow era, right? That was the master plan all along to separate men from their children, from their family, you know, to raise women up. So now women, which we are, you know, we have to become the man in the relationship, the man and the woman, because now we're the provider, right? We're the parent. And so then what happens is when women raise men, then they don't get that fatherhood. They don't have that father figure. And so then it becomes a generational curse. And now here we are, right, where men don't value women. Women don't value men. No one has respect for themselves or the other person. We're killing each other off. They don't have to do anything. They're sitting back laughing at it. All they do is group us into these little boxes and say, okay, yep, that's right, you killed him, now you go to jail. It ruins lives. And people don't get that because they don't understand that concept. They think it's about me not liking you or you not liking me. They don't get the fact that this has been premeditated since back before you started making music to put you in this predicament so that you kill off a whole other generation. You purposefully change an entire generation with this nonsense, because that's what the music is. It's like poison. Kids go around dancing to it. They think it's okay. You know, Wayne started it where now kids think it's okay to wear their goddamn pants so tight that their nuts can't breathe.
Yeah, right?
And they're
looking
like women. And it becomes this thing where now the entire generation does. Now everybody has swag. Oh, I got swag. That's what it is. It's swag. No. It's not okay. You know, and somebody has to say, sorry, it's not okay. You can't do that. You have to have a concept of self so that you understand what it truly is. No one gets it, and it's sad.
Yeah, but like you said, no one can get it because they don't know, like we said earlier, they don't know it's there. You know, we're caught up in such, in this, like, you know, again, I'm not going to, you know, again, don't use the Masons or against church and, you know, Satan on this one. I get it all the time. But think of it like this. You go to church, and who's going to be the teacher? An apostle is a teacher. So when you go to church, that apostle, a.k.a. minister, a.k.a. get that check, he's supposed to be teacher. Because you notice our people, 90% of us run the church. So when we realize that we're getting destroyed in the street, where the church is at this moment, considering we're all running there religiously. You don't think there's a point where accountability has to come in there? See, the point is we're missing out on a lot of things right now. And one of the main things is the families are fault. The family has fell apart. The family didn't fall apart. The family is being destroyed. That's the Hoover's COINTELPRO, where they wanted to destroy the family. You know, so now the kids are running to the church. So now we got the Creflo I Need a Dollars and TV fakes. And these guys, and they're banking $20, $30, $40 million bank accounts off of our people. So now when we go for salvation, they're pimping us. We're being pimped across the board. So the teachers in the street are killing us.
Thank you.
The schools are destroying us. and the pimps are destroying us. So where is our hope? Now we're talking about Jay-Z and Illuminati. And I told the kids, I'm like, what does that got to do with your life? This is a black man doing it. How does Jay-Z being Illuminati really affect you? If anyone's an Illuminati, that damn reverend that you go to church with. I said, trust me, I do debates, I travel the country, I travel the world, and I bump into them. These dudes have more money than you can even imagine. And Jesus, don't take it the wrong way, Jesus was a bum. Like, he had a vow of poverty. The man was broke, purposely broke. So why are these people running around with Maybachs? But they're taking their family on 30-day vacations. I ain't going to say who I was with. We was in Cabo together. I bumped to this man for 2 weeks. I ain't gonna see him, but he's a big minister in Atlanta. For 2 weeks, he's in. I'm like, yo, your congregation can't even go to Myrtle Beach for a weekend. How are you down here on their money? They just looked at me like
a collection plate, because people believe in that concept of religion so much. Like, you know,
it's a crutch.
It's kind of like worshiping. So you know how Christians always say it's a sin. It's a sin to worship an object. It's a sin to worship anyone other than Jesus. But what people don't realize is that when they give to that collection plate, that's what they're doing. They're worshiping their pastor, right? So they put their pastor as this idol, and they'll give their very last dollar. Their life will be about to be cut off. They'll make an arrangement
for everything else, but not your time.
Pay their rent late to give to that collection plate.
And this is what
okay,
I told you. Like,
hold your thought, because I'm going to bring in Jerry from California, because he's listening in on Skype, and he has some points, too. So here you go, Jerry. How you doing, sweetie?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you sound
great. Oh, great.
We good.
Good. Hail to my brother Riker over there. I hear the light. I just wanted to...
Peace Square.
I just wanted to jump in because earlier on when Riker spoke about, you know, the young cats really being a victim of the machismo symptom, and then the young man disagreed, I have to disagree with his disagreements. To substantiate what the brother said, the foundational fact is that, yes, during slavery, you know, the black man had to sometimes witness the rape of his wife while he's sitting in his own house because he was property. There was no way for him to defend. And so now, as we come forward, you have the ability to stand up, and you over-exaggerate your manhood through different aspects. And really, we're suffering as a people, especially the males. We're suffering from the chains and images of psychological slavery. We're no longer physically slaved, but we are mentally enslaved to a picture of what manhood is. And the glorification of, you know, having the things, that equating, you know, to manhood, you know, how well you sex your woman down, that's manhood. How much money you have or how much you're throwing away, that's manhood. Those are actually completely opposites of the meaning of manhood. You know, manhood not only includes standing up for yourself and your family, but for standing up what's right. That's what makes a man.
Right.
Stand up for what's right. Thoreau said in one of his books that it's not so important that a man gain a respect for the law, but for that which is right. And we've lost that. We've lost that focus. Because the things that are going on aren't right, you know, and you guys, you know, you're talking about X-Clan and Intelligent Hoodlum and cats like that. They had a message, you know what I mean? But you had to be aware, you know, mentally aware and quiet to listen and absorb the message. The entertainers nowadays, you know, I don't want to name anyone in specifically, but perhaps the gentleman, you know, that was part of the discussion earlier, you know, is one of the larger culprits in the fact that he is glorifying being a boss, supposedly. You know what I mean? Instead of just saying, you know, I'm a successful businessman, you know, I'm a boss. I send, you know, soldiers to do this. I send soldiers to do that. You know, having the ability to send someone to give up their life for you is not the definition of a boss. It is the definition of having a weak boss that are getting, have internalized your success. Whatever they have, free fancy. And as far as, you know,
is it me or is his phone cutting out?
I think the phone's cutting out.
Yeah,
I think
my phone is cutting out?
Yeah.
Your mic's still there? I'm here. I think everybody's here. It was like breaking up.
Yeah, Jerry, you was cutting up. I mean, you was breaking up.
You're on the phone. I'm online.
Online?
Okay. But you know, it might be these headphones. I'm using the wireless. But
okay.
I just wanted to say that, you know, the portion that I caught, the teaching that the brother was putting forth, he's dead on point. Chuck, you're dead on point, you know, about women not valuing men and men not valuing women. And I'm going to leave you with this from Romans. It says that there will come a time when women shall forsake their natural use and men shall take that unto themselves, that which is recompense. And if you expand on that, you know what I mean, now we have women considering themselves as bitches and hoes and addressing themselves that way. And we have men, you know, even if they are men, and not be a man. And it's not just in the sexual sense. You know? So I'm not putting down anyone with a sexual, you know, preference. That's not my business.
Right.
But
am I on mute? Can I begin?
No, you're not on mute. I think it's the signal that with his Skype, because it's cutting in and out.
No, it's funny. Every time I'm about to say a message, it cuts out. He's about to say something, it cuts out again. So I'm telling you, that's government stuff. They're like, oh yeah, he's about to say something serious.
He's kicking some real out. Knowledge.
He's about to say something. Cut him out now. Trust me, I'm around places to see it.
Well,
I was wondering, was I gone? Because I kept hearing the off and on.
Yeah.
But what he was saying is so very true, because women don't even consider themselves women anymore, right? So they're okay with calling themselves bitches or, oh, I'm a bad bitch. Oh, you want to fuck this? So I'm a bad hoe. Like, women don't value themselves anymore. So it's like, again, it's that whole generational thing, because then what happens is sons listen to their mothers call themselves bitches.
Mm-hmm. I remember back
and then that's what you then
ladies, though.
But you remember, this again, this is called the destruction of the subculture. Because remember,
exactly.
Queen Latifah, 15, 20 years ago, who you calling the bitch? UNITY. Let a nigga know. I remember back days, if you called a girl a bitch, the block, you was about to
punch you in your mouth. You would be
no.
Like.
Well, I was from Florida, but she was going to hit you with a bottle.
My kids were down the whole block.
Yeah, you was about to get dealt with. She was going to hit you with a bottle. And, you know, back in the 90s, it was 40s. So she would hit you with a Heineken or a 40. Like, she was going to fight. But now they call themselves it. So it's like, how do you even somebody use the word when you come and call it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
If I can interject, because I've been listening to all this wisdom all night, and it's such a pleasure, it's like a breath of fresh air to hear young men and women talk about something that is worth talking about. We're talking about how these people are calling themselves bitches, hoes, hoodlums, and everything. I just want everyone, if they could get a chance, to Google Willie Lynch's speech and pass it on, because that's where it originates. And Willie Lynch told other slave masters how to separate us from each other.
And, oh, yeah, of course.
So a lot of people don't know about it still.
Yeah. How do you
I'll tell you what. They sell the book at Barnes & Noble. They actually have the letter in Barnes & Noble. I take my kids to Barnes & Noble every Sunday. That's our Sunday routine. And from the advice of my aunt, who since I was a little kid, she's always really been very big on self-education. You have to teach your children things that they're not going to learn in school. People think that when they go to the 12th grade that that's all they need to know, and they have no idea that we have so much more to offer, that we've done so much more for society than what is in textbooks. So every weekend I make it my mission, I buy one book to put to a collection that I have of African-American culture from all types. So African Indians to slavery to Hebrewism, you name it. Every weekend I buy one book to add to a collection for myself and for my children, for them to learn. But they have the Willie Lynch book for $4.95. They have the letter. It's in color. They talk about it. They highlight specific things. There are things that this man has said back in the days of slavery that are so very true to this day. I mean, things that you can take out of that letter and apply it to something that happened last week. It's crazy.
Like the way they put child support and support. Thank you. I mean, and people want
to do this just to separate the black man and black woman. If you separate people, you can conquer a whole creed.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Capitalism.
It kills off a whole breed.
Yeah, but again, that's capitalism. I mean, again, I'm in fashion. I'm in all that. You need that. I mean, not me per se, but I do plans for people, and you need that.
Sure.
I mean, it's a capitalism vice, because I'll give you an example. You got a guy. I saw a guy the other day. We was talking. He wanted me to do a favor for him. He was like, I want you to, actually last summer. He was like, I need you to, could you help me with a project? And he got a $500 Gucci belt on. He had $300 Nike foams. This kid had about $2,000 worth of product on his ass at that day. So I'm like, what you're wearing is worth $2,000 a minimum. And you asking me for a favor? I said, are you paying attention to who you're talking to? And he goes, well, I said, I'm about my money. He goes, yeah, but, you know, I got a budget. Yes, you do have a budget. You have $300 Nike foams on. If you had common sense, that $1,500 would have cost you $100. You had a pair of Levi's on, a pair of Chucks or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd had $1,900 to spend on your project.
Yep.
And he looked at me, and I said, are you paying? And he just hit him. Like, oh, I never thought about it. Yeah. See, you coming to me talking about, yeah, you're showing off of people. See, I'm a businessman. See, if you was destitute and was like, yo, I got no money, can you help me? I got you. But don't come to me talking about I got two thousand on my butt and I can't pay your retainer. I'm like, you gotta go that way, young man, but I'm gonna tell you about yourself so you can see that you just blew $2,000. Because you're buying clothing from Gucci, trust me, I did production with them. They'll call you a nigger. You wear Louis, he calls you a nigger. You wear Prada, he calls you a nigger.
Get him.
These brands hire no black folks. Trust me, they don't hire no black folks. Only black people they hire is the mixed breeds. You know, with the black father and mother, you know, kids are so fucked up, they don't know left and right. That's what they hire. They hire that the light-skinned black person so they can say, look, I got the black, but it's white. That's what they do. That's the most they get to a black person. The very high yellow white person. So keep paying $300, $400 for a belt. Instead of reinvesting that into your pocket. But that's capitalism. Because as long as you're stupid, you don't realize you just paid $400 for a belt, which is your whole check at McDonald's.
And not to mention, they have,
our young men and women doing whatever they can do possibly to get these things, right? So they don't just save their money up. They're not saving their lunch money. They're robbing people. They're stealing. They're hustling. They're doing all of these things at a younger and younger age because maybe their mom and dad can't afford to buy them, you know, those $300 pairs of shoes. So now they're 9, 10, 11, 12, stealing. And
A lot of them living in this theory, you know what I'm saying, that people tell them, like, yo, if you hang with money, you make money. So then a lot of them feel like you got to look like money.
Exactly.
Because people around them is looking like money.
There's a difference.
And that's
you know what I'm saying? So they want to look like it and smell like it so they can be in that circle.
And that's a cultural thing. I bet you a lot of people don't know that when the Census Bureau comes around and they do tests on, you know, they ask you all of these questions about et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then they come over and they talk to your kids about what their environment is like and how are things going for them, and then they talk to moms, and then they talk to school. People think that this is data that's being used to do, I don't know what they think, but if you look very closely, if you take a deeper look into it, when they're talking to these kids, what they're doing is they're actually building or they're actually formulating calculations for how many prisons they're going to need in the future. They say, there's a statistic that says they will know by the time a child is 12 years old if whether or not they're going to have to build a space for them somewhere down the line to house them in a prison in the future. So when they talk to your kids and they're asking them questions, they're making up their mind already as to whether or not they can be saved or not.
Yeah, that's a third grade assessment test. That's the assessment test they get for third graders.
A lot of people don't even know it.
They don't know it.
That's your third grade assessment
test.
They let you know And then what
they're
already calculating.
They say, oh, okay, yep, you, and you, and probably you over there. Let's make sure we have room for them. There are more prisons in America than there are schools. Prison guards, like former Rick Ross, right? Rick Ross, prison guards get paid more money than school teachers. Very sad, but any industry, you think about it, anything you do pretty much gets paid more than the school teacher does. You can work at Nordstrom, and you'll get paid more money than the school teacher.
That is true.
Very
true.
It's sad.
But again, like you said, while you're in jail, you can go to the Marriott. It's the same place. Because Marriott's the biggest builder of private prisons now.
And here's the thing. When they put you in jail, they make it seem like it's okay for you to be there, right? Because remember back in the day, they used to have the chain gang. People was busting down rocks. It was hard. Nobody went back to prison after they left there. They're like, hell no, I'm not getting on the chain gang. Now people go to prison, and I'm saying it because I know I have people calling me all the time asking, oh, can you send me this Xbox? Xbox, your ass is locked up. But they make it seem like
you
it's
ain't
okay.
Lying.
It's okay for
them
to be in there. It's cush, right? So they make it seem like it's okay, kids. Go out there, rob people, steal people. It's all right. We have a place for you. It's going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
You're going to chill. You're going to eat. You're going to lounge. You get to sleep. You get to wake up. You know what I'm saying? Lift some weight.
You get to Facebook.
You get to chill. You get to come. I know my man. He took a picture. He had his Jordans on, his things, everything.
Yes.
Come on, cell phones. You know what I'm saying? It's like a home. It's like a block within some buildings.
Cell phones, too. I'd be like, how do you have a cell phone in jail? Oh, no, I'm okay.
Isn't that
a cell phone?
Sometimes.
I didn't know you were your technique. And your kick. I didn't even know you supposed to have two strings.
And what's sad but true is that that's typically where people tend to reunite, right? Like, I was just talking to someone really close to me yesterday. And I'm like, hey, so how you doing in there? Oh, you know, I'm all right. Like, my old cellie, you know, left or whatever. But then I moved my cousin in here with me. I ain't seen him in a long time. That's sad.
But
it's sad that you see your family members and your friends when you're in prison.
But let me intersect because prison... It's like, prison is what you make it. It's like, and I can say this because I did 3 years and 8 months in prison.
And it's not what people think it is. It's like, you know, for somebody that's never been in trouble or anything like that, you the movies and you'd be like, oh, wow, you have like this preconceived notion of what prison is actually supposed to be like. And it's like when you go to prison, depending on where you're at, the state and stuff like that, because there are like so many different, it's not a lot of large prisons for women. You don't have like a lot of facilities that you can go to. When you do go to prison, you tend to see a lot of people you haven't seen or people that you're related to, because as women, we don't have a lot of prisons like the men. Men take over everything. And it's like when you go in there, you got to have a certain kind of mindset. And people are doing their time the easiest way that they know how. And now that it's so easy to get things in, it's like it's easy to communicate on Twitter. It's easy to communicate on Facebook. It's easy to be in making your money, because a lot of people in the feds make more money than you guys on the streets do when they're running the numbers and everything like that. It's like sometimes prison can rehabilitate you, or sometimes...
Oh, make you worse.
Yes. It's all about your mindset to where, you know what, I've been down so much, I lost this, I lost that. When I come home, I want to do something better. I want to do something different. I don't want to be like a revolving door. For me, I've been home ever since January 2006. Each year, every time January 12th comes around, I treat that like a year of sobriety, because I used to do so much shit that I was always getting locked up. I never did dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? I always said if I'm going to go down or do some time, it's going to be for some big shit, and it's going to be my shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like now, it's like I'm doing the things that I want to do. I'm doing some things that I never thought that I would do. But before I came out of prison, my cousin, which also was my attorney, sat my family down and was like, yo, we really need to find something for her to do, because as a fucking criminal, this chick is too fucking smart. Like, she is doing shit that she shouldn't have to. So,
yeah.
Being in the white collar, getting in with dealerships, being double paid, I know how to work the system for credit, the legal way, illegally, and I knew how to use everything for myself good. So it's like when you go to prison, it is a culture shock. It is different because you go in there, you see the people playing the gay game because they're so used to having that attention and intimacy on the streets to where when they're inside, they got to have it. Then they come home and they go back to their men and they go back to their kids, thinking that what you do in the dark doesn't come to light, and it does, because the world is so big, but yet it's still small, because you can see people that you never thought that you would see locked up on the street. And I've bumped into so many people that I was locked up with when I was in Georgia. Now, Texas is different because I haven't been back on that part of the United States in a long time. So
that's good for you.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just crazy.
You must have been just international getting in trouble, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I was. I thank God, you know, I accept the time that I did do, because it could have been a lot worse, because I did a lot of shit, you know.
It can always be worse.
Yeah, Secret Service used to come see me every 2 years, you know. I haven't seen them in about 4 or 5 years, you know. I'm good.
They still watching.
Well, you know, they can watch Chica. They can do that. They can go to chuckmommy.com and read a blog.
They probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it is crazy, but prison is different because it's a whole different world than what people think. If you got money talk, you can have whatever the fuck you want. You can have whatever lifestyle that you want, because everything is built around money. So people do what they feel they have to do when they come home. Some people are okay. Some people be like, okay, I got to go back to what I know, because they can't get a job. If you commit in crimes, you can't get financial aid. So they only do what they know they can do. Well, if I go out here and flip a couple of pounds and ounces and break it down into a hat, a 0.5 or to a gram, then I know I'll see all my money plus this. It'll be slow money, but it's residual and it's coming in. And people think like that. Have I thought like that? Fuck yes. My first year home, I'm like, I'm not selling anymore. But because of circumstances, I did what I had to do because it was the difference of my kids not eating versus me going and doing what I had to do. I can go without.
Hey, Chuck, can I interject real quick? Can I say something really fast? I just wanted to say that I know a lot of people think that, like, if they have been convicted of a felony, even a drug-related felony, that maybe they cannot get financial aid to go back to school. Let me just say that is not true. You can. Financial aid is still available. You just cannot have been convicted of a drug-related felony during the time that you were receiving financial aid. So if you were in school receiving financial aid and you got convicted of a drug-related felony, that may, and I say may because there are some situations that can be worked out with the government, that may disqualify you for financial aid. They actually have tiers of it. So you get X amount of chances. It depends on the crime, the time, et cetera, as to whether or not they 100% discontinue financial aid. But you have a felony of any sort, does not stop you from going back to school as long as you are not convicted of a drug-related felony during the time that you are receiving financial aid. That is the only requirement with regards to that.
And it also depends on if you was a certain amount of miles from a school zone, too.
Again, it has to be during the time that you were receiving the aid. Those are the qualifications. So a lot of people think that. I get people all the time that think that they cannot.
But that's also a stipulation as well. I learned that when I was in Texas because that was like one of my biggest fears of my crime. Because
let me just tell you, Texas is a different state altogether just with regards to anything because everyone is considered to be a kingpin, queenpin, et cetera, with regards to drugs in Texas. So if in fact, you're in the state of Texas, different stipulations, different strokes for different folks, especially when it comes to a for-profit institution, meaning any level of secondary education, any college institution, is technically considered for-profit because they have the ability to choose who and who they do not allow into their university. So if you try to attend one of those schools, it's certainly up to their personal discretion, but per federal guidelines, as long as you were not convicted of a felony during the time that you were receiving aid, you still have the ability to qualify for financial aid as long as you are a male who, A, registered for selective service, et cetera, natural citizen, whatever. But don't give up on yourself because you feel like you have this crime holding you down, you can't further your education. That is not true. If the school tells you no, call another school. Somebody is going to tell you yes, and they're going to tell you the truth about it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that because I actually have a friend who just came home about 10 years ago. He's been working, but he wanted to go back to school, and they kept saying about his felony. And somebody mentioned that to him that, well, as long as you didn't, like, do certain crimes, you can go back to school, and they'll pay, you can get financial aid. And I know he looked into it, and I think he got discouraged because he can't find information on it. But based on what you just said, I'm going to actually tell him to look into it again because I know it wasn't drug-related. I think it had to do with...
Have Chuck give you my info, and he can give me a call. I'm at
I think
work
it was like insurance
all day. This is what
like
I do all day.
Yeah,
so
I think it was insurance.
Have Chuck give you my information.
Yeah, definitely. But actually, I got to get home because I actually got to get home because it's like 11:30 in New York. And I got to hike myself to Vietnam. But, again, it was a pleasure to talk to everybody. I hope to be on the next thing. And I think y'all should actually make an episode of things like this where we can actually, like this young man said, how do we help these young youth? But what you just said about that, the voting for felons and things like that, understanding different states have different laws, like Texas, a republic. Virginia is a commonwealth, and New York is a state. People don't understand that different rules apply in different locations. Like 7 years in Virginia is a marriage. 7 years in New York, that's just your girlfriend. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are totally don't even understand these certain things, whether that's my common law wife. I'm like, dude, this ain't a common law state. And you could, you know, you could vote with your felony. And so, I mean, I think we should definitely do a show like that, especially based on what he's saying and the information that you're sharing now. That, because a lot of people are tuning in, more and more people are tuning in. Like, people text me, hey, what is that? I'm like, I didn't even know. Nah, I just sit there and listen. I'm like, well, damn, tune in. Nah, I just want to listen. So it's a little freaky like that, because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But
we need to find out how to catch these people, man. About 28 to 35, and wonder why they're still standing out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what attracts them still to that without, because, you know, a good probably 75% of them got a seed at home.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was 21, that changed my whole gangsterism.
Exactly. Same thing with me.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to go into the mind and see what stimulates certain people. You know what I'm saying? Because after my first child at 21, I said to myself, I don't never want my son to be like no other dude.
Exactly.
That's what changed my whole gangsterism.
Right. But you see,
you know
we think alike.
I was as wild as the wildest dudes out there. I did it all. I just wasn't a stupid felon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What she
I
said
ain't
early,
got no
though.
Record.
Everybody sometimes can, what's that word? Some people just know. Like, you can't lead a horse to water, but some of us just, like, some of us just know. Like you just said, you come to the time where you're like, oh, I would, and the same thing with me, I'm like, I'll never put my children to what I went through. Some people don't even give a fuck. They don't even know, you know.
I just couldn't see my son acting like another dude. It was a pride. You know what I'm saying? Well, not my son, but my child alone, girl, male, anything. I couldn't see my child being like no other dude. You know how, like, if you meet a female, they got children, you know what I'm saying? You say, hey, what's up? We tell her, you know, she say, come over, you over, you know what I'm saying? And the little baby there, and they like, yo, hey, what's up? They having fun with you. They appealing with you. But at the same time, in your mind and conscience, you like, yo, me and this little kid having fun. Why ain't they acting like stranger danger?
I know what you're saying.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's like your dad supposed to be that one. You know what I'm saying?
True.
If you playing it and doing all of this with certain babies that I've ran into, they're not messing with you.
That's true.
Unless they really, really know you at least a year spread.
Yeah,
then they
be,
know you not their daddy. They could separate it. You not their daddy, but you just that man that my mom loved.
Right. But again, like you said, it's somebody with responsibility. You understand that. Some people are like, yo, put that little rug rack to bed so I can get mine. And I'm like, okay. But again, like I said,
I
think we
you
definitely
know, I respect anybody's child. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I would never let none of mine want to be like the next man.
Right.
Or get in tune with the next man more than me. Me being a man.
Yeah, my ego's the same way. I can't handle that. My ego was too crazy again. I just
that's
hate,
a subject.
I just hate
that's a subject for you, Todd. How do men take that?
You know what? Like I said, like a lot of them don't even realize it. They sit there and they're so caught up with their block, they forget. You know, the block is really in your house because that child grows up. You don't want your child to hate you. That's a terrible feeling.
There you go.
You know, but I want to tell everybody good night. I hope everybody's safe passages and, you know,
travel
like
light.
I said, I hope to speak to everybody soon.
Travel light, brother.
All right, peace, Claire.
Peace.
Well, damn.
Where you at?
I'm right here. This has been, like, a really, really, really good show. Like, for real.
I actually have to do this again. And for those of you that knew me, last year I did a show on the Illuminati. It turned out to be really good. I'm actually going to list of keynote speakers, people that are very knowledgeable on the situation, and check their credentials and invite them to be key speakers. And then I know it's going to be like a two-part show. Like, I'm going to do it on an off day, like a Wednesday and a Thursday, because tonight is an off night for me. So then that way, what we don't cover on Wednesday, we can cover on Thursday. And then I'm also going to stream it to where people can listen in from that way also. And what's crazy is the last show that I did, Rick Ross happened to be in Dubai with one of my fans, and he tuned in and watched. I guess he was wondering if I was going to say something about him. But I was good. I was nice. I guess because I didn't see him. But, you know, I know how to behave myself when the time comes. So I'm going to I'm gonna do that. And I'm going to do some other kind of shows besides the ones that I do now. So I say this month is just going to be, you know, here and there. I'm going to stay doing the Sunday shows, but like the Tuesday shows and the Friday shows, I may not do them all the time like I'm supposed to, because I'm restructuring. So come January, I can roll out everything in a smooth manner with my new co-host, a new male co-host, so we can have some balance and stuff like that. Having more artists come on, adult entertainers, models, you know, some people that have fucked to get in the industry and some people that didn't fuck. I mean, I want them all because I'm going to grill them. So I just plan on branching out and being more in control and out of control. The prank calls are coming back. Everything that I've trademarked with my personality that I haven't done in a while, that's gonna come back. So tonight was just like the tip of the iceberg, because if there's anything that I feel is pressing and I need to hit on, then I'm gonna do a special show. That's the goodness of having your own shit. You can speak about shit when you want to speak about it. You don't have to be on somebody else's time. And with everything that was happening with Ross and then Chief Keef, I was just like, you know what, let's go ahead and do a show like that tonight. You know what I'm saying? So people can get their views and their point of views across, their opinions and what their mind state is and how they felt about certain things. You know, some people may like what people had to say. Some people may not like what people had to say. But that's the beauty of a radio show. Everybody doesn't have to agree. It's okay to disagree. It's all about how you disagree. If you feel like somebody is saying something that's bullshit, okay, then you can come on nicely and address them, and then you can lay out what you feel isn't right that they said, vice versa, whatever. Not ever do I have negative shit on my show, because that's just not me or whatever, unless I'm starting it. But for the most part, everybody had a good time tonight. I had a great time. I would like to thank everybody that stopped what they were doing on a Thursday night and listened to my show and listened to me share my opinion with my friends. And most importantly, you listened to what my friends had to say. And that means a whole lot to me, like for real. I'm going to try to come back tomorrow night. I'm not sure. I have an event with ATK Big T's. I'm the female face of their company. They'll be here tomorrow. And they've done T-shirts and everything like that for me. So I have to go out, promote with them, show my face, do the pictures and everything like that. Saturday, I have a date for the first time. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the show Saturday. Am I trading y'all out?
I'm going to need to text offline about that.
Yeah. No, I'm not trading. I'm not selling y'all out for dick, because anybody that knows me knows I can't fuck right now. I'm just getting out of the house because my daughter has started going to her friend's friends to try and play matchmaker for me and hook me up. So I need to find my own date and get the fuck out of the house because my kids are looking at me like, Mom, we look at you all the time. Don't nobody come in. You don't go out. And basically, my kids are ready for me to have a life. So I'm going to try to have a life on Saturday. And then Sunday, I'll be back doing the slow jam show and everything like that. I would
I'm still going to need a photo text shot. I need a photo. I'm going to need...
Oh, you know what, Jazz? I will most definitely give you a photo. I can most definitely do that. I have to give a big shout-out to Jerry. Jerry is, like, a very special friend of mine. He has been supporting me for the longest time, and he encourages me in so many different ways. He just doesn't know it. He's given me some opportunities that will open other doors for me. He's been my sounding board for things, ideas that I have as far as writing my book, getting my thoughts together for blogs. He has been that sounding board, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank him for being a really good friend and motivating factor in my life.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes. So, guys, we've come to the end of
that was lovely.
Oh, shut the hell up. But we've come to the end of the show. I'd like to thank everybody for riding the chocolate wave, even though it was a different wave to ride tonight. But, hey, every show is
good. I like that. It's
yeah,
good.
You know, so.
Me too.
I think I'm going to try, like, once a week or twice a month to have a show like this. I ain't going to say once a week, but, like, twice a month. Then that way it keeps things interesting, and it keeps a lot of ignorant motherfuckers smart.
Like, I told you I'll be back, man. This is my second show. I think I'm going to be a star on here, man. I'm going to be that dude.
You need to.
Me, Chalk Mama, her guest. And at Cool One.
Thank you. I would like to thank everybody for listening in. I love you guys, and good night.
Good night.
All right, one.